Family discipleship can feel like a really overwhelming, beyond me, I'm not ready for it, I don't know what to do type of idea. But guess what, my friend? If you are a mom and you are trying at all, even just every once in a while, to talk with your kids about Jesus, then you are doing some amount of family discipleship. And we're going to talk today about how to use this next month as we move toward the Easter holiday. How do we use this time intentionally to not only focus on the things that are really deepest and most true and most important for our kids, for ourselves, for our families, in our relationship with the Lord, but also to talk about how do we have fun in that process and make it realistic, but also make it meaningful, because I know that you want your kids to know the Lord and to follow Jesus. And I also know that you also want to feed them probably 3 meals a day, and you want to keep the bathroom clean, and you want to fold the laundry, and you've got bills to pay, and you've got a lot going on. And it is my goal today that we can not only share a few practical tips for how to use this month to invest in that discipleship or devotional or worship time or whatever you want to call it with your family, invest in everyone preparing for Easter. We're not only going to have some tips, but we're going to have some encouragement and just realistic conversation today, mom to mom, caring for these sweet little people and trying to do it in the best way possible, where Jesus is the center of it. And we have confidence in what we're doing, and we're doing it all with intention. That might be a really high bar for one podcast conversation, but I think we can do it. So welcome, friends. You are here for the Love Your People Well podcast. This is episode 183, somewhere around there. I don't have my spreadsheet in front of me, but I'm glad you're here. This podcast is all about helping you enjoy your family relationships by dealing with all those big, overwhelming emotions that can get in the way, like feeling overwhelmed and feeling that mom guilt and all the I should have thinking, crushing that, setting it aside, and focusing in on what really matters. That is what this podcast is about. And my name is Jess. I am a mom of four and a pastor's wife, and I am passionate about helping moms enjoy the time they have with their families when their kids are little and keeping Jesus at the center of it all. So I am glad you're here for this conversation. We're going to dive in. So I will point out, as we start talking about how to use the month ahead to prepare yourself and prepare your family for celebrating Easter, that obviously is a specific holiday that's coming up. But this is also a great opportunity, a very natural opportunity, to practice regular family discipleship, family worship time, family Bible time, whatever you want to call it. There's 1,000 different names for it. But at the end of the day, just like we want to have a personal time reading the Bible and praying and trying to connect with the Lord every day, we want to do that with our families. We want to train our kids in how to read the Bible, pray, talk to God, apply his commands and his wisdom and his goodness to our everyday lives. We don't just want that for ourselves. We want that for and with our kids. So I know we're going to talk about Easter, but I hope that you will keep all of this in mind as a practice opportunity, kind of an experiment to get more and more comfortable with these type of conversations with your kids. And I have resources for you over at loveyourpeoplewell.com. We actually just dove in on March 1st in the Faith Fiverr Club. We have a whole workbook there with a daily Bible reading, family discussion question and prayer prompt. And it is definitely not too late to join us over there in the Patreon community to grab that deep dive workbook for this whole month. But there are other resources there on the website as well. Some Easter story cards you could print out to go through with your family. A 40-day Lent devotional, which you could use for yourself or with your kids. You might have to edit the questions to be more age appropriate if you have little ones like I do. They're 4 years old and they're comfortable with the Bible and big words, but they would not understand every question that I would find deeply meaningful in my own personal time. But lots of resources there for you over at loveyourpeoplewell.com. But I wanted to start today by just sharing a little bit about what family discipleship time looks like in our household. I've got 4 kiddos ages 4 and under, and so family discipleship time is very loud. It's very short, but it is very consistent. And I can give my husband the majority of the credit here because he is very intentional about it. And I am thankful for that. And part of the reason he is more intentional about it, at least part of the reason for that, is that we do it at breakfast and we do it at bedtime, because that way if you miss one, you're probably still at least catching the other. And we do different things at each time of the day. But often at breakfast, everyone's finishing up while I'm finally sitting down. That's mom life, hashtag mom life. And I don't like lukewarm coffee. So usually I'm sitting down with my plate of food. I'm standing to the side, heating up my cup of coffee while he's starting the Bible time, because everyone's done eating and you know that their attention span is going to be gone in about 44 seconds. So practically, it makes sense. Let me interrupt our conversation just for a moment to invite you to join me over in the Faith Fiverr Club. This is our private community where every month we go deep into a different topic of family life. With a private podcast, a personal workbook, month by month, encouragement and resources, join us at patreon.com/loveyourpeoplewell. All right, let's get back to our conversation. And then at bedtime, we have a pretty common routine that I will stay behind in the kitchen and start cleaning things up while he gets everybody, teeth and jammies and all the things in the bedroom. And so we both agree, don't wait for me to come to start that time, because again, you want to capitalize on the moments when you have your kids present and you have their attention and, they get in a routine and they like that. So we, like I said, we do our family time twice a day and we do it a little bit different. In the morning, we have a catechism book that we go through with the kids. Now, again, they're 4 and under. It's a catechism book for kids, and we have tried a few different ones over time, and some we've loved and some we've, tried it for a few days and then moved on. But right now, the one we have, it goes through questions. I mean, it's the basic, probably the Westminster Catechism, but a kid version. But there's a specific Bible verse for every question. And we just review one or two and we celebrate every word that they actually get correct or say out loud. And it's not a big deal. Often it's mom and dad reading it instead of the kids saying it, but it gets in there over time. Slowly they build that knowledge base. And so we do a few questions and then my husband reads a Bible passage for the day, and we do usually ask a question about it, but at that point, it's pretty rare they answer the question. They usually, by that point, are crawling around on the floor or something, and we will answer the question for them, and then we pray, and we do try to have everyone pray. There's a variety of ways that we do that, and of course, they are all very short, and sometimes very endearing, because kids will say the sweetest things to the Lord and to each other. And so that's what our morning time looks like. And then at bedtime, we have more of like a story Bible and we'll read the story. And often at that point, we try to maybe act it out or like role play the characters or something like that. so that they can kind of play and have fun with the Bible story. And then we do, hopefully, if all goes well, a bit more prayer time. We have everyone share something they're thankful for and something they need to apologize for to God or confess to God. And then we'll ask each of them if, you know, is there anything we want to ask God for? And usually that revolves around either healing or I want this toy or something like that. But a little bit more focus on prayer in the evenings. And I share all of that not because I think we do it perfectly, not because I think that everyone should be doing what we are doing, but because I hope it is clear that we are intentional about what we're doing. We're intentional about when we are doing it, and we try to be realistic with our expectations. They're 4 years old. They're barely paying attention on a good day. And yet, when we called great-grandma the other day for her birthday to say happy birthday, and she said, oh, tell me the Bible verse that you're learning, our son, who never says basically anything during our family time, he knew every verse. He's just rattling them off. And you're like, oh my gosh, I guess you are listening. And we need to hold on to that truth as moms, that even when it feels like this is total chaos, everyone is loud, everyone is crazy, is this having any impact at all? It absolutely is having an impact. Repetition goes a long way for all of us, but definitely for kids. And it doesn't really need to be these super child-sized stories. I mean, we're reading the real Bible in the morning. It's the same as our Bible. It's not a kid version, and we're not reading all of it. We probably are not going to read through Lamentations or, you know, some sections in Judges or whatever. There are parts of it we're not going to read through because of their age, but we're also not feeling like every conversation needs to be a very simplistic story version of the Bible. And they ask real questions, and sometimes we know the answer and sometimes we don't, and that's great. And so I want to start off just with that picture of what it could look like, and that encouragement to be intentional, whatever it is you're doing. There's a lot of options, but decide ahead of time and decide on purpose and stick with it even when it feels like this is total chaos and you're wondering, is it worth it? And especially as we prepare for Easter, this is such a great time to just open the Gospels with your kids and start reading through them, kind of like you do at Christmas. Sometimes you can read the whole Gospel of Luke in 24 days. A lot of people do that in December to lead up to Christmas. But guess what? If you started today, there's just about a little more than 24 days, but basically you've got a month until Easter. So pick a book of the Bible, pick a gospel and just read a chapter a day, or start in the middle of it and read a few verses a day, a story. Read through the different parables that Jesus tells or the different miracles that he does, or read a psalm every day. There are plenty of options. And as you, especially if this is new, as you're telling your kids why you're going to start doing this, especially if they're older, you might get a little pushback on that. And you can just link it to, you know, hey, this holiday is coming and we don't just want to have candy and eat ham and wear a fancy dress to church. We want to actually remind ourselves what this is all about. So you can do that from the Gospels. You can do that from the Psalms. You can turn to Isaiah in chapter 53 and just take a few verses, one or two verses a day, and look at the suffering servant prophecy. There are a ton of options. And if you're feeling stuck, I've already mentioned I have those resources at loveyourpeoplewell.com. You can grab my Easter story cards with 16 different stories to walk you through all of Holy Week leading up to the crucifixion and the resurrection. You can grab my Lent devotional. Join us over in the Faith Fiber Club and get a daily Bible reading, discussion question, and prayer prompt. You absolutely don't need to feel stuck. And this is a great time to start practicing that regular habit. And then the other piece that I would encourage us all in, when we think about family discipleship, and especially linking that with Easter, There are a lot of cultural fun things that people do at Easter. There's Easter egg hunts. There's usually a lot of candy and chocolate. There's the, at least here in the South, I'm in South Carolina, and you know, there's a lot of the buying, wearing that fancy new Easter dress to church. A lot of times we get together with family. There's a lot of fun at Easter. Just the other day, a friend of mine was posting on Facebook wondering, you know, hey, what are you putting in your kids' Easter baskets this year? Which made me realize, oh, I have not even thought about doing an Easter basket. Maybe we should. And then, of course, the word should comes up and you have to rearrange that into, well, maybe we could or should we, you know, just because other people do it doesn't mean we need to. But it got me thinking about, since there is so much cultural fun in this springtime season, there's egg hunts and all sorts of fun things. I want to make sure my kids are not just thinking of this as like, well, I can have fun out there with my friends or at school or whatever, and then I come talk about the Bible with my parents and that's not as fun. We need them to see that a relationship with Jesus is filled with joy and peace. And that doesn't mean it's always easy. And that doesn't mean you have to eat chocolate every time you open the Bible. But absolutely, when your kids are young and they're growing and they're learning, you want to make their Bible time, your family discipleship time, as enjoyable as possible. And that's part of why, as I described, our, especially the morning routine with Bible time, like basically our rule is you need to stay in the room. You can sit on the floor. You can be walking around. Like, we are not trying to make this feel like school. And if we need to cut it short because the attention span is just not there today, that's fine. And there are many days where we offer a special little dessert or something to keep them in their chair, to keep them smiling. Now, that doesn't mean we're having donuts every day of the week, but hey, they would love it. But they're young enough that it still often will work just to say, hey, we're going to put some whipped cream on our strawberries this morning, or we're going to give everybody 4 chocolate chips, or, you know, just something that we know they're going to enjoy. And we want to make sure they're connecting fun with their faith. We want to make sure that they are not thinking that all the fun stuff is out there and then all the boring stuff is in here. And so I think about Easter egg hunts and Easter baskets and things like that. And you may or may not be wanting to do that with your kids. But I know when I was growing up in a non-Christian household, we did Easter egg hunts and we did baskets, and that was really fun. And we would get little, you know, coins or little bits of money, and we would get candy in our various Easter eggs. But then I look on Etsy now, I mean, my own shop, but then others as well, and you've got these resurrection eggs, and you can have scriptures inside there, and you can have the candy, and you can have the fun alongside talking about Jesus inside the tomb, and then you open it, and then all of a sudden, he's not there. Where is he? Everyone is curious. It's because he rose from the dead, and we can talk about how springtime is about newness of life and the new life that we have in Christ. And there are so many connections that we can make between the fun and the joy and all of that with Easter, and connecting that with the Bible and with prayer. And you can make this a month of gratitude and just praying through things you're thankful for. And, you know, add in a little extra chocolate or Easter eggs or whatever it might be. A lot of that is easy to overlook because we can feel like that family discipleship time is a checklist. I need to check it off for today or else I'm not a very good Christian mom, which is absolutely not the case. And if it boils down to just being a checklist, it's not going to be that meaningful anyway. They need to see you having a real and robust faith in the Lord, and they need to experience that it's okay to be distracted. It's okay to have prayer time that is all about their teddy bears and all the random stuff that we know doesn't really matter, but in their little tiny brains, it does matter. And we know they're trying to delay bedtime by thanking God for every wall in their bedroom and every polka dot on their wallpaper. that's okay. Make it a conversation. Make it fun. Make it funny. And sometimes, honestly, that's just a reminder for ourselves to keep it fun, to find the humor in life, and to invite the Lord into it. So I would love to hear from you what you might be doing for Easter this year with your kiddos, with your family. And I'll remind you one last time that a great resource for you is right there inside the Faith Fiverr Club with us. It's only $5 a month in our Patreon community to support this show and to get a ton of extra perks. Every month, we dive into a different monthly challenge, like a different focus area for family life and relationships. And so this month, like I've already said, there's a workbook and a private podcast with daily readings and discussion questions and prayer ideas to help you and your family prepare for Easter. And there's others there on the website as well, the story cards or the full devotional, lots of options out there. But I hope that it will be fun, and I hope that it will be a really great opportunity to practice, to build that muscle, to feel totally uncomfortable on day one, and maybe a little bit more comfortable on day 10. And then by Easter, you're an old pro and you can keep it going. And it's a really natural time to start something different with your kids. It's a well-known holiday. It's not like this weird thing they've never heard of. If they're already in school, then they've got spring break coming up. Like, there's a lot to be excited about and looking forward to. And so adding in or deepening your consistency with some elements of family discipleship, teaching and modeling and pointing your kids toward Jesus, this is the perfect time to add that into your family life. And I would love to help resource you for that and encourage you in that. And I would love to hear from you with how you are doing that with your family. You can send me an email anytime. It's jessica@loveyourpeoplewell.com. You can leave a review on the show and let me know your thoughts about that. But I would love to hear from you. And I pray that it is a wonderful month leading up to a wonderful Easter. So with all of that in mind, my friends, don't forget to head over to loveyourpeoplewell.com to grab your freebies and any Easter resources that you're looking for. And don't forget to subscribe to the show if you haven't done that yet, because we will be back next week with more practical tips and biblical encouragement to help you love your people well. But until then, hugs and blessings to you, my friend. I'll talk to you soon. I'm so glad you joined me today for this episode of the Love Your People Well podcast. If you found it helpful or encouraging, please leave a written review to encourage me, but also to help the show grow. You can even copy the link to this episode and text it to a friend. Don't forget to grab all your resources at loveyourpeoplewell.com and join us inside the Faith Fiverr Club for extra perks every week.